just thank you for the honor and the privilege to be able to be here and preach. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you'd help these young people. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to pay attention, get something out of the message this morning. And Lord, just challenge our hearts. I pray for the adults in here, God, that you would just challenge our hearts as a whole, Lord, to be more for you. And God, I'm just thankful that we get the opportunity to serve you. In your name I pray. Amen. As we're starting out here, the first thing that we can note here is if you're paying attention to the first part of this story, is the fact that Naaman is a great man. Okay? Naaman is a man that well spoken of. He had a testimony of greatness. He had a testimony of almost a status of royalty. He was one of the things that one of the places kind of in his life that people really respected him as a warrior, as a leader in his community. Okay, in the first verse there again it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria, and he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." Okay, so we see that Naaman was not just an ordinary man, okay? He was a captain of the host of Syria. Okay, think about that. He was the leading general, the leading captain of the entire host of Syria. He was, maybe you could say, a right-hand man, and was on good relations with the king of Syria. He was an honored man. He was high and lifted up. I mean, he was looked at as a great man in his company. Okay, he was a man who could boast of great military victories. Okay, I am a bit of a military book, military history type of a buff, I guess, and I enjoy reading stories about some of the men of especially our United States military. I have high respect for our military, and I'm thankful for the freedoms that we get to enjoy as Americans because of those that have fought, that have died for the ability for us to have freedom. And so I'm very thankful for our military. If you read some books, it'll give you some insight into what some of these men have went to. And really, if you read about some of the things that men have went through, it just doesn't even seem possible that a man could take so much abuse or so much injury or different things and still either survive through it or save a lot of other lives through it. And but I'm a bit of a military buff, but he was a man that could boast of great military victories. I'm sure that those that are in his company would love to just sit down and maybe just pick his brain about some of the battles that he'd been through, of some of the things that he'd seen and experienced, and the great regard that they had for him in that area. He was a mighty man of great valor. He was a strong man. Okay, that's something we're missing in our world today. I'm tired of hearing young people that want to put a poster of LeBron James up on their wall. He's a coward.
That's right.
He's wicked. He's nothing. And we make heroes of people like this. We make heroes of these pop singers and these other things, and we look at them with almost a desire of an envy of saying, "Oh, I wish I could live like that." And the sad thing is, the majority of them, their life is an absolute wreck. Their families are a wreck. They're into drugs. They're into alcohol. They're into all sorts of immorality and sin and wickedness, and they're miserable living a life whenever they should have everything. They could go out, they could buy anything, they could spend their money on anything, and I'm getting off on a little bit of a trail right here. But I'm talking to young people right now that you don't need to be making heroes of the sports stars. You need to get a picture of your pastor and go put them on your wall. You need to get a picture of your mom and dad and the faithfulness that they have and put them on your wall.
Amen.
And say, "That's my hero right there."
Yes, sir.
"My pastor right there, that's my hero. He's faithfully preaching the Word of God. He's not having to get carried off the porch because it's too hot in there."
Come on.
And I'm thankful that my dad, we had an interest somewhat in the NFL and NBA whenever he grew up. But Dad didn't allow my life to be controlled by my desire for sports. And I'm telling you what, as young people, if you can get this controlled right now, I'm dealing with teenagers in my youth group that basketball is their God, that football is their God, soccer is their God, and that's all they care about, that's all they worry about, and they pout and they go around because they can't play basketball and they can't be in different things, and their life is a wreck right now because that's their God. And having the right type of priorities and mindset and having the right type of place. And that's a bit of a soapbox for me because I'm out of all that stuff. I don't watch the NBA anymore. Can't stand them with their activism they have and their wickedness and their wicked lifestyles and all the hateful things that hate our country. The NFL does the same thing. It's trickling down into the college teams. And you know what? I don't want nothing to do with it. And so either way, I'm done on that one for now. But he was a mighty man of great valor. I'm sure the children of Syria would look as they walked by and they said, I want to be like Naaman someday. Boy, Naaman is a mighty, mighty man. But that's not just the end of his story here. He was a great military general. He was greatly honored amongst his people. He was a great man of valor. He was, he was smart. He was strong. I'm sure he would stand out in the crowd. But there's one more description of Naaman that we have here, that he was a leper. How many in here know what leprosy is? You've heard about it before. It's the majority of us. Leprosy was and is a terrible, terrible disease. For the most part, with our cleanliness that we have today and our ability to wash and clean ourselves and things like that, we don't deal with leprosy as much as we used to. But there are still leprosy colonies in the world. I know over in Thailand there's some leper colonies over there. There's a great missionary that's passed away in the last couple of years that was over there. He'd been to our church a lot, and he would go to the lepers. He would go to the leper colonies. He'd sleep with the lepers. He'd eat with them. He would sit with them at their tables. He'd go in their houses. And he was a missionary to the lepers. And remarkable man, remarkable story of him going in. But leprosy is a terrible disease. It was a terrible disease. It was almost just you're just going to die a slow, painful death until leprosy made its final course. And it says that Naaman was a leper. Now understand that in the Word of God, we have an illustration here of a man that had all the status, that had all the wealth, that had all the ability to do all sorts of things. But all that money, all that wealth, and everything else could not take care of his leprosy. He couldn't buy his way out of it. His status couldn't get him out of anything. And he was on a level playing field of being affected by this leprosy. And if you understand something in the Word of God, leprosy is always associated as a picture of sin. So if we look at that from a standpoint, as an illustration, that Naaman, yes, he had the status. Boy, people looked up to him. He was a great military general. He was a captain of the host of Syria. I mean, he had a personal relationship, a personal friendship with the king of Syria. He was looked on kindly by the king of Syria. He was a great man of valor. He was looked up to. And yet, with all of that, he couldn't take it. All that status, all that money, all of his position in society could not take care of the leprosy that he had. And young person, it doesn't matter what family you grow up in. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor's daughter. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor's son. It doesn't matter that if your parents never have been to church before in your life. We all have the sin curse on our life, and we all have to have this curse of sin that we have to get taken care of personally with the Lord Jesus Christ. We preached on it with hell last night. The brother preached on it with the sin the other morning. And it doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter if you live in a home that's 10,000 square feet or if you live in a home that's 400 square feet. It doesn't matter that if you have 80 rooms in your house and 45 bathrooms. It doesn't matter if you have one room in your house and a half a bathroom. Or maybe an outhouse. We still have this issue of sin in our life. that has to be taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ by a personal decision between us and the Lord. There's a young man that came to me that got saved last evening during the devotions time. One of the junior counselors here was faithful and just sensitive. The Holy Spirit has just spoke to him, and I praise the Lord for it. Do you understand, young people, that there's rejoicing in heaven, that there's a wave of excitement that went across heaven as that young man bowed his head and called out the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know what? He had that sin in his life, just like Naaman had this leprosy in his life, and he got it taken care of last night, and Jesus Christ washed him white as snow, and all of heaven rejoiced and said, another soul's been saved.
Amen. Amen.
That's what happens. And we here on earth did rejoice right along with them.
Yes, sir.
And we praise the Lord for it. So Naaman had this issue with leprosy. Next, we're going to jump into another fact about Naaman here. And I want to encourage you with this. I think this is just very interesting. Look with me in verse number 2 of 2 Kings chapter number 5. The Bible says, "And the Assyrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." I want to look at here the witness of a little girl. I've been talking to you about these last couple of weeks, or a couple of days, and the messages have challenged you that you can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a little maid here, a little girl, that's been taken from her home. Assyrians have come in, and this is a practice that has been down through the history since the beginning of time. Whenever a conquering army would conquer another area, usually a lot of times the people would be brought back as captives to the home country that had attacked the country there that they went to. So the Syrians came in and they took this little Israeli girl that was a little maid and they brought her back. And this little girl ended up serving Naaman's wife. And she just put a little testimony out there and saw the leprosy that Naaman had and had been dealing with his whole life. And she said, would to God that my Lord or the Master Naaman would be in with the prophet that's in Samaria and would be recovered of his leprosy. Boy, that got a buzz going. Boy, that got an excitement going. As one of the other servants heard it, and they brought word to Naaman and said, did you hear what this little girl just said? She said that you could be cured of your leprosy. And told him the story. And you know what it started with? Was the witness of a little girl. I was talking to Brother Joel last night about the message for today. Or we were talking about being a witness from the other night. And he told me that his sister-in-law, his wife's sister, the reason why they started going to church was because a little girl from a church went out and gave a tract to her boyfriend at the time at the house they were living at. So they were involved in drugs, they were involved in immorality and wickedness. And her sister went back to an empty bathtub and sat in it. And she prayed and said, God, would you send someone by from the church to help us? Her boyfriend at the time came back and had gotten this tract from a little girl from a Baptist church. And he kind of joked about it. He said his sister-in-law went back, I guess, into the bathtub and said, Lord, I'm in the Catholic church, not the Baptist church. She said, I need to be more specific. So she went back to the place where she got her prayer answered at and went back to the bathtub. But they ended up going to this church, and God changed their lives. And it had an impact on his wife, because his wife realized that there was something different about her sister. They got saved. They got baptized.
Now their family is saved and baptized and in church. They got out of the Catholic Church and they got into the church, a good Baptist church. They heard salvation. They got saved, and all because a little girl went over with a tract and handed someone at a door and said, "Would you like to come to church with me?" Naaman got the message that he could be cured of his leprosy, not from the king of Israel, not from a great prophet, not from the preacher, not from mom and dad, but because a little maid was faithful and she was in a strange land. She had every right to be quiet and to not say anything. She had every right to be terrified where she was at because she was taken to a strange land. And yet she was a witness for Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for our God. And she was a witness for them there. And she said, Naaman could be healed of his leprosy if you met the prophet and heard God, my God. And young people, you can make a change in people's lives. Let's see what this change is. As Naaman goes on the way to this place, understand that we need to have the right type of mindset of where we're at. You say, Brother Ross, you don't understand how I've grown up. You don't understand what I've been through. There's all sorts of stories of young men and men in the Bible that had the right type of attitude even though they were in a tough predicament. I think of Paul and Silas in the jail cell and what came of that, of the jailer being saved, all because they decided instead of not to pout and to feel bad for themselves because they were sitting in a jail cell. No, they were praising God and singing at the top of their voice and just praise the Lord that He would count them worthy to get to serve them.
Amen.
Of having the right type of mindset. Understand that this little girl, she was taken to a strange land. She was taken to a land that she had every right to feel like this isn't fair. God, this isn't fair that I'm taken from my homeland. God, it isn't fair that I've been taken from my mom and dad. God, it isn't fair that I now have to go into the land of Syria and serve as a servant girl. And yet she was a witness where God placed her at. And still had a faithful desire to serve. She served her master faithfully while she was serving there, and was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see Naaman got this word of this, and the king of Syria ended up sending Naaman to go to the king of Israel, and we're going to see an interesting request of him. We read verse number 6. It says, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. He didn't send him to the prophet. He sent him to the king of Israel. Now, understand the predicament that the king of Israel's in, okay? The king of Syria has sent Naaman to him, sent him with all this raiment, all this gold, all this silver, and he comes to the king of Israel and basically says, recover me of my leprosy. Now we'll understand why the king responded the way he did as he sat there and said, am I God that I can make a man alive or I can make a man dead? How is the king of Israel asking me to heal Naaman? I don't have that power. I don't have that ability. And he was rending his clothes. He was praying to God and saying, God, what is going on with this? What is happening with this? The prophet got word of this and he asked the king why he's rending his clothes. And he says, send him to me. He'll see that there's a prophet in Israel. He'll see there's a prophet of the one true God. And they're going to see the might of God Almighty if you'll send him to me. Naaman goes on the trip down there, and we see an interesting thing, something that we're all going to deal with. Every young person deals with it in here. Every adult deals with it in here. And it's that awful sin of pride.
Yes, sir.
The prophet, as he comes to him, Naaman doesn't come and fall down on his knees at the doorstep of Elisha and say, Elisha, would you help me? He comes proud. He doesn't come humble. He comes proud, riding upon his beast and coming in. And he came in with an entourage of people that came with silver, that came with gold. And Naaman had an idea that he could, with his status as a person, he was letting some of that stuff go to his head, that I can just throw gold at something, I can throw silver at something, I can throw changes of raiment at something, and I can get my way.
The prophet Elisha sent a messenger, didn't even go himself, and just told him, said, deliver this message to Naaman. You need to go and did it seven times. What was Naaman's response? Okay, let me go do it. No. He was wroth. He was angry. He was mad that Elisha, who does he think he is to tell me to go and do this? Young person, if you're not careful, you'll have that same response as your pastor gets up faithfully and preaches every single day and says, young person, you need to be careful about the music that you listen to. You need to stay away from that devil's music. You need to stay away from the rock music and the rap music and the country music and everything else that has to do with that. You need to listen to songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and you'll sit back there and say, who does he think he is to tell me I can't listen to my music? You have a pastor get up in front of you, or a preacher, and they'll say, young person, you need to obey your parents. You need to honor them. You need to obey them. You need to respect them. You need to respect the man of God. You need to obey them that have the rule over you. And you'll sit back there and say, who does he think he is to tell me to do that? I want to do it my way. And that's how Naaman was. He wroth. He was angry. He says, who is this Elisha telling me to go down into Jordan and dip seven times? Aren't there better rivers in Damascus that I can go to that are better? Aren't there better rivers that I can go to and dip in and I'll be cleansed? And he wanted to do it his way. And he almost missed out on the blessings of God by letting his pride take control of how he was acting and behaving and everything. And let me tell you, I praise God for a servant that wasn't afraid to speak up next to Naaman and came to him and said, why not just do it? A young person, iron sharpeneth iron, and you should be the type of friend that if your friend's getting in trouble, or they're doing things behind their parents' back, or they're doing things that are wicked and wrong, and they're not obeying, and they're not doing different things, that you should be an iron sharpeneth iron type of a friend that would go to them and say, why don't you just do what's right? Why don't we, instead of doing this, why don't we just obey the Bible? Why don't we lift up our pastor instead of trying to tear him down? Why don't we obey mom and dad instead of constantly trying to rebel against them? Being that type of a friend, and I praise the Lord for a servant that wasn't afraid to say something to Naaman. Verse number 9, it says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over his place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Man, he thought, man, this man of God should come and meet me at the door himself. How dare he send a servant to me? Doesn't that prophet know who I am? And Elisha realized that he was coming in his pride. He was coming in arrogancy. He was coming with a, I'm something. I'm God's gift to creation. And he sent his just off the door out there, messenger, and tell him what God wants him to do. And Naaman was brought. He expected a spectacle. He expected that Elisha was going to come out and was just honored that he got to stand before Naaman. And was going to just say, oh, Naaman, here, let me just wave my hand across this, and the power of God's going to fall and it's going to cleanse me. And it was going to be like some big old parade, and he was going to be lifted up, and he was going to be looked at as something, because that's what he was used to. And he almost let his pride keep him from getting to experience the transformation that God was wanting to bring in his life.
Right.
And young person, if you're not careful, you're going to have the devil whisper in your ear, and you're going to hear messages on salvation this entire week. And if you're not careful, you'll let the devil whisper in your ear and tell you lies and build up your pride and saying, you don't need to do that. Who does that preacher think he is to ask you to raise your hand of saying you're not saved? You're a good person. I mean, you go to church. I mean, you listen to preaching. Does he know you're memorizing Bible verses? Who does that preacher think he is to ask questions like that? And if you're not careful, you let your pride get in the way of making, first of all, a decision for Christ and taking Christ as Savior if you're lost. And if you're saved, you'll let that pride keep you from making a decision for God that could change the rest of your life. I told you at the beginning of this week, our pastor's daughter was 8 years old when she said, "I'll be a missionary."
Amen.
She's a missionary in Puerto Rico today.
Amen.
Reaching people for Christ. Faithful. All because back at 8 years old, she listened to the Lord and said, "God, I'll be a missionary."
Amen.
And that's why I believe, and it encouraged me as I heard that testimony this week as I came here and to be preaching to juniors, that God can work in your life just like He did in hers, and how He's worked in other people's lives down through the ages, and you can make decisions that will last from this week right here. But if you're not careful, you'll let your pride get in the way. Say, doesn't that preacher know that I have dreams someday? I had dreams as a young man. My dreams changed a little bit as I went across the years. But I had dreams of being military. I had dreams of being a policeman, fireman. I mean, that was normal for young. As I got older, I wanted to start a business. I wanted to be busy. I wanted to just be a layman in my local church. I wanted to start a mowing business, and then it switched over to a couple other things. Whenever I went to college, before I surrendered, I was planning on coming back home and starting a set of turkey farms. I was going to be a turkey farmer. Turkey farming is nasty work. But I enjoyed it. There were some guys in our church that had some set of turkey farms, and that was their livelihood. If you don't know what a turkey farm is, it's basically a chicken barn, if you've ever seen those, or anything else. It's basically a 500-foot or 750-foot long barn that's enclosed, and all those turkeys stay inside there. You can imagine the filth that's inside of a turkey barn, because they don't get to go outside to go to the bathroom and everything else. It's nasty. And if a turkey dies, you got to get it out of there. And I worked with those things growing up. We'd pick up dead in the morning. We did load out. We did other things like that of pushing them out of the barn. We scraped floors. And we power washed the insides. And come home and we felt slimy. It was good work, though. I enjoyed it. That was my dream. That was my pride of saying, I want to be a businessman. I want to be a business owner. But God was silently in the background saying, "John, when you were 11 years old and you told me whatever I wanted you to do with your life, you would do it. And I don't want you to be a turkey farmer. I don't want you to just be a layman. I want you to serve me with your life." And because of a decision that I made back when I was 10 or 11 years old, God softened my heart to finally one night where I just said, "Okay, God, you got me. I surrender." But if we're not careful, we'll let pride get in the way of the decisions that we have to make. It almost destroyed Naaman. We see after this the transformation of Naaman. I want you to see what his attitude changed. We saw that he was wrathful. He was angry. He couldn't believe that he had to go down there, and he was asking that of him. Verse number 13, it says, "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Verse 15, "And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." We see a transformation of a man that was so used to people going to bidding at his will. He said, "Go," here they went. He commanded armies. He was esteemed in his community, in his area. He was looked at kindly by the king.
We see a man that was full of pride, that was arrogant, expected things to be done to fit him. To a man that was brought low, that went and dipped 7 times in Jordan, that got healed, and then when he came back, his whole testimony changed. He said, "Now I know there's no God. No, not just in Syria, but in all the earth. There's no God in all the earth than the God of Israel." Where did it start with, though? A little maid.
Yep.
Next to Naaman's wife and the servants that were around him said, "If only my Lord Naaman were with the prophet that's in Samaria, that he could be cleansed of his leprosy." Young person, you have no idea the impact that you can have on other people. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Alright, close your eyes, no one looking around.
I'm going to ask it again as we are here today. I'm going to ask you again. Is there anybody here today? Naaman almost let his pride get in the way of not getting cleansed. Is there any young person today that would say, "Brother Ross, I don't know 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven"? All you got to do is raise your hand up. One of our counselors will work with you. We'll come to you. If there's anybody in here like that that would say, "Brother Ross, I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. Would someone talk to me?" Just slip your hand up. Don't be shy about it. Don't worry about what your buddy's going to think next to you or anybody else. No one's looking around. It's just us and a couple of the workers. If there's anybody like that, please slip your hand up where we can see it, or we can see it, and someone will deal with you. As a testimony, then I would say that those are saved in this room. I've been talking about this week that you need to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have no idea what even just handing a simple tract. Just like Brother Joel's sister-in-law, a little child came to their door and said and gave them a tract, and he ended up at the Baptist church down the road, going to meetings. They got saved, they got baptized, and God changed their life because a little child decided, "I can do something for God. I can go pass out a tract. I can be faithful." What is the Lord doing with your heart today? If you need to come deal with some things, you need to talk to a counselor, other things like that, let's do it as the music begins.